Support comes from the St. Louis Chamber Chorus. Season 68 concludes at John Burroughs at 3 p.m. on May 26th with the United Nations commissioned Voices of Today by composer Benjamin Britten, featuring youth and adult singers. Tickets at chamberchorus.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. You know that game, 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon? Well, there's a new version now called 6 Degrees of K-Dot versus Drizzy Beef, because it seems like everyone's just a few steps away from what's arguably the biggest rap feud in the last 10 years. The two hip-hop artists at the center of this are Kendrick Lamar, a Pulitzer Prize-winning rapper who's a native of Los Angeles, and Drake, a multi-platinum, multi-award-winning rapper who hails from Toronto, Canada. These aren't just well-known musicians. They're two of the most prominent, most celebrated hip-hop artists known today. And if 2023, which was the 50th anniversary of hip-hop, didn't make it clear enough, hip-hop culture is pop culture, not just a niche segment of it. And when Kendrick Lamar dropped his Drake diss track Euphoria last Tuesday, folks in St. Louis took notice of the various ways in which name-dropping one of its hottest rappers, Sexy Red, was just one feature. We asked our audience what they make of the beef as soon as Euphoria was released. Little did we know the conversation around these diss tracks would go well into the weekend. Bobby Best shared on Thursday that the criticisms Kendrick Lamar lobbed at Drake are relevant to hip-hop culture overall.
You're never going to take away Drake's fans, his core fans, which is, I mean, he's a pop star, right? But I do think you will get other people who do have more of an appreciation for hip-hop at its core to look at him in a different manner now. That we don't want to hear you say the N-word no more. That stings. That's going to sting for a very long time. And as you know, for somebody who clearly has image issues and self-acceptance issues, or like just wanting to be accepted, he's always wanted to be accepted by the culture. I just think it stings too much to have an effective effective rebuttal.
Ryan Brown, also known as Big Esco, shared his excitement around the beef on Friday before any response tracks by Drake or Kendrick were released.
But Kendrick is laser focused on Drake. He's calling out the things that the culture has always griped about. So I'm happy for Kendrick, but I'm even more happy for the culture, and I'm rooting for Drake to at least represent himself well and come back with something fire.
After Kendrick Lamar and Drake traded jabs at each other, Gabby Hayes shared her apprehension around Drake issuing a comeback against Kendrick.
I don't think he can come back from this. I think that Euphoria is like, you can't come back from Euphoria. That song, he said, I hate you. I hate everything you do. You a bad dad. You got bad taste in women. Everybody don't like you. I'm telling you the truth. Like, precision.
And Maya Foster shared that she is thoroughly enjoying every last bit of the beef.
I'm for the creativity. I'm for a little competition. It's very entertaining. K-Dot is literally sopping Drake up like a biscuit. Drake is a light-skinned biscuit that is getting sopped up by the very melanated, seasoned brown gravy that is Kendrick Lamar. But we're getting hits out of it.
So why are St. Louisans, among all the people, literally worldwide, who are following this feud with bated breath? And how does St. Louis rap go way beyond and deeper than a name drop here and there with this Drake versus Kendrick Lamar feud? Here to walk us through this are two of my STL PR colleagues, reporter Chad Davis and producer Maya Norfleet. Maya, Chad, great to have you back to discuss STL hip hop.
Yes, hello. Yes,
thank you.
All right, so Chad, in a nutshell, what is rap beef? What's the point of it?
I mean, like, at the core of it, it's just like sparring. You know, it's sparring. It's a battle between rappers, between people in hip-hop. I mean, it could be producers. It could be rappers. It's funny because, obviously, this is, like, the biggest in a long time. But, I mean, there's been so many other mainstream rap beefs over the past, like, 50 years. I mean, we can think about Jay-Z versus Nas, Tupac versus Biggie. And it's a lot of times it's, you know, people either at the top of, you know, the mountain, the rap mountain, so to speak, or like people who are like trying to say like, you know, I'm the best, or I'm, you know, I'm the king of New York, or, you know, it could be over somewhat trivial things like you wore bathing ape clothes first before we did, or you copied our style and now we're beefing about this. But you can look back. There's Nicki Minaj versus Lil' Kim and versus Remy Ma. And
Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion, mm-hmm. Cardi B, Drake versus Pusha, Meek, Common, Kendrick.
So there's a list of these.
Yeah.
You use the term sparring. Now, the point of sparring is not to injure each other. So, I mean, what is the purpose of beef, Maya? I mean, is it about humiliating a rival, or is there something more to it?
I think, like Chaz said, it is to prove who is actually the best. Like, a lot of rappers, a lot of musicians or artists will say, like, I'm the best at XYZ, but this is the way to actually prove who is and who is not the best. Chat said sparring. I'm saying it's a fight. We boxing. There might be a little bloodshed. There might be some tears as well, but it is really a battle back and forth to prove who is the actual best mm-hmm. alive today.
So beefing among artists in hip hop, obviously very common, and it's practically fundamental if we think about what the fundamental elements of hip hop are. We want to hear from you. What makes this moment in hip hop special? What about this beef is unique? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us a tweet at STL On Air or email us at talk@stlpr.org. At this point, I'd like to bring in another voice to the conversation. This is St. Louis Public Radio's political correspondent and big hip-hop fan, Jason Rosenbaum. Jason, welcome.
Surprise.
I mean, as the politics correspondent, I mean, this is quite appropriate. But Jason, from your point of view, what is it that makes this beef between Drake and Kendrick different, I mean, to the point of being viral?
It's more vicious, I would argue. It's certainly more vicious than Nas and Jay-Z, which in a nutshell was Jay-Z saying, oh, Nas, you had one good album, and then you had an okay follow-up, and the rest of your albums were trash, and then Nas basically calling Jay-Z an overzealous fanboy who did Tybo. Biggie versus Tupac was actually not really. It was kind of one-sided because I don't think Biggie ever released a song against Tupac. I listened to Who Shot Ya this morning in preparation for this episode. That could have been about, like, anybody. It could have been about, like, Elmer Fudd, for all we've heard about. But that involved, like, actual violence and then Hit 'Em Up, which I feel is the best diss track of all time, was the Retaliation. This is just throwing all sorts of really dark and humiliating and disrespectful barbs at each other. It really is taking things to a level we have not seen maybe ever.
Ever, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I mean, it is quite breathtaking. I mean, I also, over the weekend, have been beefing up, no pun really intended here, so that I could be ready to have this conversation. But for maybe somebody who still doesn't really understand what rap beef is, you know, how it is unique, is there some other comparison that we might look at from other genres of music, you know, Chad or Maya?
I don't know. I think it's, I mean, there's always going to be issues between artists from different genres, but I think this is like solidly really like a hip hop thing. I mean, it even goes back to like rap battles, like battle rapping,
and
taking it to the stage, and you know, hurling insults at each other in the clever way, improvising through that, like freestyling from those rap battles. So, you know, it is a solid hip hop thing. I know there's been beefs between like Rolling Stone and like the Beatles and everything like that, but. Yeah. I don't know if John Lennon really had any bars against Mick Jagger. If so, I'd like to hear them. You know?
Yeah. I liken it, like I just said, it's something like boxing, but with the rap battles in mind and that fundamental pillar of hip hop, within those rap battles, you also have a crowd of people hyping up one side or the other. Like, if you've ever watched 8 Mile with Eminem making, I think, his only acting role ever, but that is a good example of there's two people in literally in the spotlight, an audience around them cheering folks on and really getting in each other's heads. I kind of see it of like almost like a wrestling match where you're like, oh, this is cute and fun. And then it gets real serious. You start questioning how real the beef actually can be.
Now, I will say there have been like jazz battles and stuff, too. I know, like, as well, like if you want to go back to
like dueling pianos.
Yeah.
And in terms of rock and roll, like there was Blur versus Oasis where they were trying to, like, you know, outsell each other. And I'm pretty sure those bands didn't care for one another. But I don't think that Liam Gallagher was telling the drummer of Blur that a lot of things that I'm not going to say on the radio now because they're not appropriate.
So, I mean, we're talking about rap beef because there's this, you know, very contentious. And earlier, Jason, you'd mentioned the kind of level of vitriol that is involved in what's happening with this feud. Now, it's between Kendrick Lamar, who's the only rapper to have won a Pulitzer Prize for his writing, and Drake, who's won many, many accolades, you know, from
Billboard,
the Billboard, right? And he's a platinum artist. But this all came to a head when Kendrick Lamar surprised everyone by releasing Euphoria last Tuesday around 10 a.m., so very random day and time to suddenly come out with a track that was 6.5 minutes long. So Kendrick did not just suddenly decide to go after Drake, and we're not talking about a rap battle situation wherein you have the two sides and they're just kind of going at it in front of the same audience. There's a lot of history, maybe too much to go into, to go way back to the beginning. But Maya, when did all of this start within the music, especially the connection to St. Louis?
Right. So that's when I started paying even closer attention, because like we said, rap beef, rap battles, that's all that happens all the time. But I started paying a lot more of attention to it when Kendrick Lamar ended up on the song Like That, which is on the album Metro Boomin' and Future put out called We Don't Trust You. Basically, the entire album is multiple people, multiple songs saying that they do not trust Drake. Something happened, they don't like Drake, and they make it very clear. And then Like That, when that album first came out, it just said Future and Metro. So when you listen to it, you're like, oh, surprised by these other features. And then suddenly Kendrick Lamar pops up going in on Drake.
Yeah. So let's listen to a little bit of Like That by Metro Boomin and Future featuring Kendrick Lamar.
These talking out of their neck. Don't put no coughing out of your mouth. I'm way too paranoid for a threat. Hey, let's get it, bro. D.O.T. the money, power, respect.
The last one is better.
Say yes, a lot of goofies with a check.
I mean, I hold them sentiments symbolic. My temperament bipolar, I choose violence.
Okay, let's get it up. It's time for him to prove that he's a problem.
Clicking up, but can't I be legit? No 40 water, tell him.
Yeah, get up with me. Sneak this in first person shooter. I hope they came with 3 switches. I crash out like rap. This Melly Mel if I had to. Got 2 T's with me. I'm snatching chains and burning tattoos. It's up. Lost too many soldiers not to play it safe. If he walk around with that stick, it ain't Andre 3K. Think I won't drop the location. I still got PTSD. Mother the big three. It's just big me. Boom. I'm really like that. And your best work is a light pack. Prince outlived Mike Jack. Boom. For all your dogs getting buried, that's a K with all these nines. Ego see Pet Cemetery. Yeah.
That was Kendrick Lamar with Future and Metro Boomin. The song is called Like That. So Like That is featured on the album We Don't Trust You, again, which seems to be a direct message to Drake. No connecting flights. This is direct. When this album and this song came out on March 22nd, what were your initial thoughts? I mean, did you think that it would go this far, Chad?
Oh my God, it was so funny. I came home from like a Francis Howell board meeting, finished up a story, and then went on Reddit, saw that this came out. And I'm a huge Kendrick fan. I love Kendrick and I love Drake. I love both of them. Love Kendrick a little bit more. But when that song came out, I saw the lyrics first that he had shot at Drake, and I was just like so excited. I was like, this is it. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for like more than 12 years.
And Maya, how about for you?
You know, I am also a huge Kendrick fan. I'm not a great big fan of Drake at all. So when I heard it, I was like, finally. Those references to First Person Shooter is a song that Drake and J. Cole did together, where they likened themselves plus Kendrick as the top three. So with this track, Kendrick's like, I don't know what y'all talking about. I'm the number one.
Yeah.
Bump what you said. I'm the.
Jason, were you also waiting for this to happen?
No, I was kind of surprised. And frankly, I'm gonna be the minority here. I found that song to be very underwhelming. I didn't even really think that Kendrick's bars against J. Cole and Drake were that vicious, especially compared to what we've heard. And frankly, that album is amazing, but that's probably like one of the weakest beats that Metro has on the album. And
I hope
the rest of the album is gold, but the whole like horns at the beginning they're kind of like ringing in my ear like a fire alarm. But maybe that was the point. It was to actually stick in your mind. Like, here we come, Drake. You better wish that you were on Degrassi The Next Generation still, because
exactly
we're going to make you wish you had never quit Downtown Sasquatch.
Wow. So you got beef with Drake?
So we're going to take a very quick break here. We'll continue the conversation and dive into St. Louis influences behind and within this rap beef when we return. I want to remind you, if you would like to join this conversation, give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. We are talking about the viral beef between rappers Drake and Kendrick Lamar, and both why and how folks in St. Louis have been responding so strongly to tracks that both of the artists have been releasing at rapid fire speed since last Tuesday. Joining me are my STLPR colleagues, Chad Davis, Maya Northfleet, and Jason Rosenbaum. So before the break, we were talking about We Don't Trust You and Like That. We got a little bit of background on where this beef got started. Now, we started off the conversation with a quick intro to that beef between them. And then insofar as an album, when folks were on friendlier terms, less vitriolic ones. We got a little taste of that. Before drawing lines in the sand, back in 2015, Drake and Future released an album where all but two songs were produced by our very own Metro Boomin. It was titled What a Time to Be Alive, and Metro was just 22 years old at the time. So fast forward to this year, where Metro and Future release an album telling Drake, We Don't Trust You. Drake responded with a diss track of his own titled Push-Ups, which leaked on April 13th. In this song, he calls out Kendrick Lamar and Metro Boomin. Let's take a listen to Push-Ups.
Then you gon' feel the aftermath of what I write down. I'm at the top of the mountain, so you tight now. Just to add this talk with your ass, I had to hike down. Big difference between Mike then and Mike now. What the fuck is this, a 20v1? What's a prince to a king? He a son. Get more love in a city that you from.
Metro shut your hell horse up and make some drunk. Yeah, I'm the sixth god, I'm the front runner. Y'all ain't moving in and Joe was Charles little blunt runner. Clean a six and you boys ain't.
Now, St. Louis loves to represent and celebrate hometown heroes. Mm-hmm. So does this mean that all of St. Louis by default is anti-Drake, Maya? I mean, what makes St. Louis and Metro a prominent character in this beef?
The fact that Metro Boomin has become, we're talking a lot about the top rappers in the game. Metro Boomin is one of the top music producers in hip hop right now. So St. Louis is very proud of him and everything that he's accomplished. He's very proud to be from St. Louis, and he reps it every chance he gets. I think there's still some fans of Drake in St. Louis, but the very special, unique thing about this is the fact that Metro is literally providing the soundtrack to all of this beef.
So St. Louis is probably a little more on the side of Kendrick than Drake for many different reasons. Last Tuesday, Kendrick Lamar dropped Euphoria, where he name drops another prominent St. Louis artist, Sexy Red. Let's listen.
Keep making me dance, waving my hand, and it won't be no threat. I'm knowing they call you the boy, but where's the man? Cause I ain't seen him yet. Matter of fact, I ain't even bleed him yet. Can I bleed him? Bet. When I see you stand by Sexy Red, I believe you see two bad bitches. I believe you don't like women. It's real competition. You might pop ass with them. Let's speak on percentage. Show me your splits. I'll make sure I double back with you. You assigned to a nigga that signed to the note that said he was signed to that oven. Try cease and desist on a like that record. Oh, what? You ain't like that record? Back to back. I like that record. I'ma get back to that for the record. Why would I call around trying to get turtle? Y'all think of my life is rap? That's whole issue. I got a son to raise, but I can see you don't know nothing about that. Waking them up.
So Kendrick Lamar said, quote, when I see you stand by Sexy Red, I believe you, Drake, see two bad bitches, unquote. Now, what relevance does this line have outside the obvious compliment paid to Sexy Red, whom you were last time on the show talking about, Chad, and a diss to Drake?
Oh, man. I mean, this could be more pointed. Maybe Maya has a better response to this, but I mean, he's it's such a good bar. Like, it really is, because he's, for one, he's, like, comparing him and Drake's, I don't know, increasingly what seems to feel like misogynistic lyrics in his music, where, you know, you look back like 13 years ago, 12 years ago, it wasn't really to this level. And in this song, I mean, pretty much Kendrick is saying, like, yo, you're here and you're saying these things and I don't believe you like women. You're here. You see these other rappers as competition. Mm-hmm. You see people like Sexy Red. I mean, you can rope in other women rappers too, where he's like been pretty critical of them. And it seems pretty weird. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Maya?
I think it's the fact that, well, one, it's a 6.5 minute song, and then out of nowhere, he says Sexy Red, and I had to pause it because I was like, oh my God, he just mentioned Sexy Red. I think also, you know, women in hip hop oftentimes are talked down upon, but right now, women in hip hop are really kind of carrying it at this point, especially bringing it to a mainstream audience. And yeah, Drake likes to act like he's this really hard thug, but really, he's just a girly pop. And I think that's what he was getting at.
Yeah. So besides this mention of Sexy Red in Euphoria, Metro Boomin has provided much of the literal beats behind the massive campaign throughout the world of hip-hop against Drake. And there's been a pattern that folks notice about Drake switching up his look and sound to different subgenres across the U.S. and globally. And one of those examples is another St. Louis talent, the rapper Smino. So why is it such a big deal, you know, that a mainstream, internationally known artist like Drake is drawing inspiration and sound and fashion from St. Louis? I'd like to know, Jason, do you have something to say about this one? No? Maya?
That Drake is paying a lot of St. Louisans are St. Louis's biggest critics and biggest fans. And the fact that, you know, when Smino or when Drake came out looking like Smino at a photo shoot, it's like, oh, he's really paying attention to us, even though oftentimes St. Louis can say, you know, we're not making as big of waves as we used to, like in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Drake kind of proved all that wrong by the fact that he's partnering up with Sexy Red. He's made a lot of music with Metro, and now he's literally trying to look like Smino, in my opinion.
The one thing I will add, too, is he has also collaborated a lot with SZA, who released SOS in 2000, I think the end of 2022. Mm-hmm. And I guess that puts the three biggest mainstream St. Louis hip-hop artists on opposite sides, with Metro on Team Kendrick and SZA and Sexy Red on Team Drake. So I guess it's not as cut and dry as I guess it should be.
And it's still weird, too, because we really don't know, I guess, like, yeah, Drake has done some songs with SZA recently, but SZA was also a part of Kendrick's label, Top Dog Entertainment. Mm-hmm. Kendrick is not a part of TDE anymore, but they have a strong background together too. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know, it's really interesting. And also the thing with Drake and Smino and everything like that too, Drake has had a history of going to different places around the world and kind of using their sound, whether people like that or not.
Yeah, it's called being a culture vulture.
Oh, and that is a topic for another conversation for sure. Now, there are a lot of nasty allegations out there about this beef. And again, we want to focus on that word, that they are allegations. There haven't been things that are proven. But if we are going to choose a winner here, and in the introduction, we talked about international notice. Metro did put together the first ever beat.
Disbeat,
which we're not getting to. But, I mean, who's winning, I guess, in the last minute or so? And is it Drake? Is it Kendrick? Or is it somebody else?
I mean, it's Kendrick now at this point. I mean, both of the allegations, again, won't go into them, pretty dark, but Kendrick wins. If not, then there's no winners. If it's
after Meet the Grams and Not Like Us, Drake's career has been eviscerated.
Rap fans win, because this has been a really good time, and I didn't think I'll be working this hard over the weekend.
Yeah. Maya Norfleet is a producer for St. Louis on the Air. Jason Rosenbaum is political correspondent at St. Louis Public Radio. And Chad Davis is a reporter here at STL PR. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news from the St. Louis region and across Missouri. It also includes stories from the Illinois side of the river and our Metro East reporter, Will Bauer.
In Alton, in Belleville, in East St. Louis, in Edwardsville, in Cahokia Heights, at Scott Air Force Base, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listen to reports from Will and all of our journalists weekdays on the Gateway, on the STLPR app, and wherever you get podcasts.